Please be seated, won't you? Well, good evening. If this is your first time to come to an Easter vigil, you might be thinking, wow, that's a lot of scripture. You might be thinking, what's up with the fire and the candle? You might be wondering, why a baptism in the dark, and why did we wait to turn the lights on? I didn't really know much about this service until I went to seminary when it was introduced to me. And it's a service that happens in lots of Episcopal churches and sometimes Orthodox churches and sometimes Catholic churches throughout the country. It's the first Easter service that happens near sundown on Holy Saturday. And we light the fire to remind us that we have been in the dark. We light the Paschal candle, and this Paschal candle will be used throughout the season of Easter. It's brought out for weddings, for baptisms, and for funerals to remind us of the shining of the light in all of our lives. And we read a lot of scripture to remind ourselves of the fullness of this story that begins with the creation and comes to us. Listen to what Paul said in the Romans. That he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Jesus Christ. Consider yourself dead to sin and alive to Christ. I have a question for you. What gives you hope? What gives you hope? There's a funny little thing that we do around Thanksgiving, not funny, but there's a thing that we sometimes do around Thanksgiving. If you've been on the internet, you might have seen this. It's called 30 Days of Thankfulness. Anybody ever participated in that? So the idea around before Thanksgiving through the month of November, you name one thing that you're thankful for every day. It's a great exercise if you're ever interested. Psychologists say it's actually very beneficial for you. I would suggest that you come 5 or 10 every day and you name something new every time. I would introduce 50 days of hope for the season of Easter. But before I talk about that, let me talk about something else. In my last church, I had a young man named Mark Smith who was a police officer in the community. Mark was about a foot taller than me and about my size. Not someone you would want to trifle with, but he was a soft-hearted person. Known in the community for his kindness, for his ability to be in very stressful situations and keep a clear head. He was also an MP for the Army. And about the time I was serving there, he was called up to go and serve in Afghanistan. Not long before he left, I had done his wedding, and we'd had many conversations, as you often do with people part of your church. And before he left, I offered him a cross. We said a prayer together. We blessed the cross. And I said, just have this with you. And he and I, in sort of a new thing around this time, we emailed each other while he was away, while he was serving. I sort of lost touch with him when I came to Kansas City. And not too long ago, I wrote him and said, hey, I just wondered how you're doing. What's going on? How's life? Where are you? And he told me what else is going on. He still serves in the military. He's still a police officer. And he said something that was kind of interesting to me, because I hadn't ever thought about the cross that I gave him. And by the way, this isn't about something I did. This is something about what Jesus did, to be very clear. He said, you know, I held on to that cross, and I kept it with me through every moment of my deployment. But I had it in my pocket, or I had it somewhere with me. And it was what I held on to for hope in some of the most difficult things I'd ever seen. I held on to that cross for hope. When I read that, I wept. Because in that small moment, someone got the message. And we continued our conversation and found out more of the stuff that he's up to, and he's still part of a faith community and still doing the things that he does and still a sweetheart of a guy. Another thing to think about. How many of you have ever been spelunking? You know what that word means? So spelunking means to go into a cave or to go into an underground dwelling. Sometimes you're not supposed to. At Wichita State, there are tunnels, and you're not supposed to go in the tunnels. I will not admit to going into the tunnels, nor will I deny ever going into the tunnels. It was a different time in my life. I was not as good a Christian. But if you've ever gone into a cave and you've really gone deep down, and not the commercial caves that have lights run and things like that, but if you go down, you get far enough in, if you turn your lights off, it gets really dark. It gets really dark. Most people can't stand to not have the light on. And the longer you wait, the more disoriented you become. You start looking for something to grasp onto. You can lose your sense of up and down and sideways. You can lose your sense of orientation. You can become dizzy. You can become lost. And given enough time, you can become insane. That never happened. Be clear. But then when the light comes on, you suddenly can see. And you can touch. And you can feel. And you can know where you are. Holding on to the cross as a symbol that sin is destroyed, that we might live, as Paul says. Being in darkness, where we can't find anything without the light. Easter is about hope. Easter is about salvation. Easter is about God being with us in the darkness of our life and shining light when we can't find any. A lot is happening in the world. The world seems a little more risky now than I remember it being. We have lots of questions. The church is under pressure because sometimes our theology and sometimes what we do doesn't always help us in life like it could. But here's my challenge to you. Easter is not one day. Did you know that? But it's 50. It's actually a season. And tomorrow is the first Sunday of Easter, and we go for Easter for quite a while. But here's a challenge I want to give you. Is I want you to spend each day finding one or two things that give you hope. One or two things that are light in the darkness. One or two things that help you to overcome sin and live the life God wants you to live. One or two things that might lead someone else into peace and love and hope. What do you think it was like for the disciples? The one they had followed, the one they thought was going to change everything, the one that they thought would move heaven and earth, that would destroy the temple, that would do all these things, was gone in a tomb. And then suddenly, the light was there again. We'll hear in the coming weeks their story as they sort of light the world on fire with a message of hope. A few minutes ago, we baptized a beautiful baby, Maggie, who is filled with promise. So the challenge that we have in these 50 days and in the rest of Maggie's life, too, is to continue to offer her this message of hope. The message that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ. The message that we can cling to the cross in our darkest moments and know of the Easter resurrection. And if we succeed, she can tell someone else the same story. I'm really glad we lit the fire tonight. Because I don't want to stay on Good Friday and in darkness. Because when I'm in darkness, I can't see. When I'm in darkness and sin, I don't know where I am. When I'm in darkness and sin, I can't find my place. When I'm in darkness and sin, I become insane. But when we lit the light, when we see Jesus, a whole new world opens up to us. So have 50 days of hope. Have 50 days of hope. Because the world needs your light. Just as we gave that candle to Matthew to shine through to the world, that they might know God's love. Amen.